Why a spoon, cousin? Why not an axe? Let's find out on episode 25 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Because it'll hurt more.
Retro Rewind podcast initialized. Mission identified. Robert Hood, Prince of Thieves, 1991. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome to the Retro Rewind podcast. This is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP25. There you can leave us a comment on the post when it goes up. You can vote on whether you thought Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was a classic or second class. And you can also subscribe to the podcast if you haven't yet on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and more. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, and dangerous with a dagger.
Ooh, diabolical.
And I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Paul Powers. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, Francisco. And hello, world.
That's like a... Whenever you do, you know...
Yeah, I created a blog.
I will post every week.
No, just my first announcement. Hello, world.
All right. Anyway, we're not talking about blogs here. We're talking about movies. And speaking of movies, Paul, would you rather see a movie about Robin Hood or a movie about King Arthur?
It depends. Which version of Robin Hood and which version of...
It's more like which of those two characters do you like more?
If they were going to make a new live action film of the both of them, which one would I be more excited to see?
Yes, exactly.
Well, since the Russell Crowe one more recently came out as of this recording, I would have to say the King Arthur one.
Oh, okay. Not a big fan of that version.
It was okay. I think it would have been better if they didn't title it Robin Hood, but he was some sort of other character name.
Okay.
It would have been a fun medieval adventure kind of a thing.
That makes sense. Cool. Well, let's see. Where is our guest host this time? Oh, no, we don't have a guest host. It's just, you're just going to be listening to the ramblings of Paul, who's this time playing Robin Hood, and Francisco, who's playing the blind man, Duncan.
Okay, then.
Anyway, Paul, will you please set our course for today?
I can see. Boom.
Nope.
Nope.
Still can't.
Okay, since you can't see, let me tell you where we're going. We're going to have a roundtable discussion on whether we think Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is a classic or second class, and wrap up the show with feedback, contact info, and maybe... if we're lucky, some show announcements.
Ooh, very awesome. All right, Alice, whenever you have that target for us, go ahead and let us know. Anytime.
Yeah, make sure you focus.
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
To fight. Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. Prince of Thieves.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves came out on June 14th of 1991 in the United States of America. It is rated PG-13, and it's 143 minutes long, unless you watch the extended edition, which is 155 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was directed by Kevin Reynolds, who is not related to Deadpool, who was played by Ryan Reynolds. Or Green Lantern, yes.
Or Trapped in a Box Underground.
Yes, and the list goes on and on with Van Wilder. Anyway, the writers are, it's written by Penn
Teller?
Densham, I don't know, John Watson, and one more other person. Anyway, it stars Kevin Costner, who grew gills and swam in the ocean, and Morgan Freeman, who played God, and Bruce Wayne's sidekick,
Lucius Fox,
and who was not Robin, and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, the girl from The Abyss.
That's pretty much it. I can't think of any other movie she's in. I'm sure she's in others.
But. Yeah, she was in Scarface and a couple other movies. Christian Slater, who was the older brother in The Wizard, who made an excellent delivery line of the game Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In that game. Anyway, it also stars Alan Rickman, who is who
is in countless movies as the villain.
Yes, but I was, darn it, I forgot the line. I was going to say, by Thor's hammer, I will avenge you, but that's wrong.
Hammer.
Who?
By Grepthar's hammer.
My, what a savings.
Oh, yes.
Anyway. So, and the list goes on. The budget was about $50 million, and it grossed to almost $400 million worldwide.
Whoa. Oh, my. That's awesome.
Yeah, so somebody made a pretty penny there.
Mm-hmm. Or a pretty pound, because in Britain, they don't have pennies. I guess it's a pence, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But we'll have to ask our long-lost relatives across the pond.
Yes, exactly. But that's all beside the point. We are now going to move on to our memory synopsis, where Paul and I's minds melded via Vulcan.
We're not
something
Vulcan.
Something or other. Oh, well, whatever. What we remember
to come
about,
up with a term.
Yes. What we remember about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is Robin, played by Kevin Costner, escapes from a Muslim prison with the aid of Morgan Freeman, a Muslim, and returns to England to find his family dead.
Robin, we're not Muslim.
They're not. Robin can't find a home, though, so he and a bunch of dudes live in the forest. And Robin teaches them to steal from the rich and give to those oppressed by the abusive sheriff, Alan Rickman, who wants to cut Robin's heart out with a spoon. And while Robin tries to take over the sheriff's castle, he shoots an arrow with an attached camera that was used in all the promos ever. And then after rescuing Marion and defeating the sheriff, James Bond stops the wedding until he can give away the bride.
Yeah, but he didn't shoot the arrow with the camera attached while attacking the castle.
Oh, I had to make it flow. It is memories, Paul. They're jumbled sometimes. What do you
Inception.
Want?
Anyway, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
It's not quite this movie. Let's talk about this movie, though. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Paul, what would you have rated this, or would you have thought this was a classic or second class before you watched it?
Classic.
And I thought, since it had been a while, it was going to be second class, because like, it seems like if it was a classic, I'd see it more often. But
yeah, I can see that.
But let's go ahead and get into the things we loved about this movie.
Nothing.
Well, you kick us off.
No,
you didn't
joking.
Like anything. All right. The things we hated about this movie.
Nothing.
Shortest podcast ever.
Things that I liked about it. One of the things I was surprised was the music.
Oh, Yes.
The score I thought was very well done, but it's very recognizable because it's used in a lot of, I guess, promotion
trailers
by the
and,
yeah, promotions yeah. by the studio and things like that. And I'm not just talking about the Bryan Adams song, Everything
no,
I Do,
yeah,
I Do
yeah.
It For You.
I don't think that's used much anymore anywhere.
But there is a soft, I was about to say, an instrumental version of that song in
oh, yeah?
the movie
mm-hmm.
at one of the scenes that I thought, oh no, here it comes. But it wasn't that bad in the movie. It didn't take me that much out of the movie. I thought it fit pretty well.
Yeah. No, I would totally agree. That was the first thing on my love list, was that the music was so enrapturing for me. There's even this one moment where the Robin and Azeem and Duncan are at Marion's castle, and it's like when they just got there, and then the sheriff's cousin comes to try to capture them, and they're being chased on the horseback, and like the music's dun 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 dun, yeah. And yeah. there's this one point where the exhaling of the horses matches completely in rhythm with the,
oh, I didn't notice that,
with the sound, with the score, and that's just indelible in my memory. I can always remember that. But
so
yeah.
if you ever go horseback riding, you have to have that theme playing.
Yes, I'm going to have to. As long as the horse can breathe in time to the music.
Yeah, otherwise, giddy up faster.
Yes, exactly. On Facebook, Karen Bjorgi also commented that Robin Hood had a kicking soundtrack. So I'd say we both agree with that. Something else I really liked was all the dialogue and lines. There's so much of the dialogue in this movie was so memorable and funny, or just really, really good, I thought. Like, I love the part where Robin's complaining about Azeem not saving him, and Morgan Freeman's character is like, "You whine like a mule. You are still alive."
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Some of the dialogue, it was fairly well written. I mean, it's not bad. I'm trying to agree with you, but not be like, oh, this is amazingly written. But it's not like, you know, like X, like that in my head, in my opinion. It's not like super extreme, like, oh, you've got to check this out for the dialogue. But it is enjoyable and well written.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say that's well put. But certainly there are other lines. For instance, Sulin McMillan, sorry for butchering your name, Sue. She's had the line, "To the trees!" I think it's a bull who says that when they're being attacked by the sheriff. Angela Ray said, "I will cut his heart out with a spoon." Is it that movie? Yes. Yes, Angela, it's that movie. And Jake Aaron Wallace said, "Why a spoon, cousin? Why not an axe?" "Because it's dull, you twit. It will hurt more." I think that's probably the most well-known of the lines from this movie.
Yeah, probably.
Any other lines stick out to you?
No.
Well, then I'll finish out that thought with one last from Chrissy Ruiz. She said, "I love the story of Robin Hood, and I think this one has held up really well. Love the soundtrack. Yeah. Love the actors, actresses, and really love the quotable lines. I think it's a classic."
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Christy. And Angela and Jake and Aaron and Sue and Karen.
Yeah.
And don't worry, there's one or two more that we'll get to here. But what's something else you really liked about the movie, Paul?
Something else. I really enjoyed Christian Slater's performance in this. Now,
oh, really? Tell me about that.
He's known for not being that great of an actor in some circles. Like, he's known for being a Jack Nicholson wannabe.
Really? I would have never.
Yeah,
because
he has his hair slicked back, and he kind of talks kind of in a higher voice range.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He does like a Jack Nicholson without trying to do a Jack Nicholson. So, but I thought he was real you know, he really got into the emotion. He was really believable. I didn't like his character, Will Scarlet, as a kid. I just thought he was some, like, oh, he's jealous of Robin Hood and, like, he's annoying. And but as an adult, I really appreciate the backstory of how they were actually related, half-brothers.
Yeah, totally.
And that's why there's all this angst and brooding there. So, And I thought Christian Slater did a great job with that.
Yeah. And picking up on that, I his performance didn't really stand out to me so much. I thought Morgan Freeman's performance really stood out. And I also really liked Kevin Costner's performance. I thought there's this one part that sort of like, I felt what he was feeling when Marion kicked him.
Oh, you mean when they first introduced Marion and he looked up and that she removes the mask and he says, oh, hello, Marion.
Yeah, and he's like twitching his eyes and I like can totally feel what that would be like.
Why, have you been there before?
Oh, yeah, that happens to me on a regular basis now.
Every time I break into a castle.
Ryan R. Jackson, though, did not quite agree with me on that point. He said...
On which point?
The Kevin Costner as an actor, but you're all...
Well, actually, let's save that because I don't agree with you either. That's actually my list of things that I did not like.
Oh, fine. We can...
Let me save up my arsenal of arrows here.
Okay, but you got to agree that was at least a good scene where you could...
Oh, yeah, very... And that's another thing that I enjoyed was the comedy mixed with drama.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Because, like, at the beginning, like, when they were escaping from the prison, I was in there like, oh, wow, I can't believe I've sucked in so fast with the drama.
Yeah.
But there's also these lighthearted comedic moments, and I thought it was a good blend of both.
Totally, absolutely. I don't know if I was so drawn in as you in the beginning, but, well, I think I was for the most part, except I feel the line, this is English courage, is just pretty corny. Even though we just got done with talking about how there's a lot of really good dialogue in lines, that's one that's like, and that took me out of the scene. But
It didn't take me out of the scene, but it did make me think, and the prison guard is like falling for this. But yeah, everybody's different.
Yeah. To go off that, just the transition from drama to comedy, and also I thought it built up to its action set pieces really well, and overall I thought the movie was really well paced. I was definitely engaged the whole time, and I didn't feel like it's almost like the moments where I felt like, okay, I'm about to start getting bored, they transition went to something else, and I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I agree. From a storytelling point of view, yeah, very well paced.
Yeah. I really loved how everything felt so lived in and so real, from the costumes to the setting and set designs. I was really impressed. I had no recollection that everything looked like they filmed it in England or in like Scotland Highlands or something. I didn't look through the credits to see where they actually filmed it, but... everything looked so real, and all the insides looked so, they weren't like bright and colorful men in tights castles. They were very, very real. So I really appreciated that. And that part is what the type of thing that sucked me in.
Yeah. I think it did me too, but subtly. Yeah. I agree. Costumes and settings. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I was thinking, what's the word for the lands where you go out and you, like, they survey, like, where they're going to shoot?
Location scout?
Yeah, locations. So I thought very excellent locations.
Absolutely. But what was something else you really liked? Or was there anything else?
That was all that I wrote down.
Well, going off something you had said before about Will Scarlet and appreciating his character, I do have to say that it was a little odd that he gets an arrow to the hand and all he does is like, it's like, there's so many nerves in your hand. It seems like that'd be way more painful, but maybe he has like hands of steel or something.
Or maybe he was caught up in the emotions of him trying about to take someone's life.
Oh, like the adrenaline and of it or something.
Exactly. Oh, that exactly. Makes sense.
I could see that. I really enjoyed, I'm sort of going through my list now. And please speak on any of these as you would like, Paul. But I really liked Robin's response to Azim's telescope, where he pulls it out and he like...
Oh, I thought that was...
You thought that was dumb?
Yeah. I enjoyed the comedic element of that. But on the other hand, I was thinking... There, he had just came off a boat where, you know, and the telescopes are often used in that area. And I don't think it was anything foreign to England. So I don't see why he would be so like, oh, what is this sort of kind of magic? And if I look at it, I can hit him with my stick, you know?
Well, this isn't like the 1800s, Paul, where I would think telescopes are common. This is like the 1100s and 1200s. So I would think that'd be fairly new technology.
I don't know. I'm going to have to Google the Crusades.
Okay. I think they said this took place during the Third Crusade, but I guess whichever Crusade Richard the Lionheart was in, you could find out that way.
Okay.
And while you're doing that, I'll go through some of my others. I really like the montage of them making all the bows and weapons and getting trained to fight. How that progression is just fun. And again, the score really added to that and made a lot more of a stronger piece or stronger part of the movie, I thought.
I agree. And dang it, the Third Crusade was 1187 to 1192. With Richard the Lionheart of England.
Nailed it. but that still doesn't answer the question if telescopes were invented by then. But let's see. I really liked the flaming arrow, which it wasn't the same as the camera-mounted arrow, which I don't think was really a camera-mounted arrow. That
Yeah, CG.
But, yeah, I thought that was CG. Okay.
But it was made to look like. But yes. I did like that when the... it was kind of, from a storytelling point of view, with the flaming arrow, it's when Alan Rickman's character called in the people and tried to bribe them and everything. Mm-hmm. I was like... This is moving for me. The movie kind of went down almost to a halt.
Oh, really?
There, and I was like, "This scene can be edited." So then you go. The next scene is the big hired hands grunts attacking the village, and they're all attacking. And then the Robin Hood and his men are winning. And then the flaming arrows come out.
Yeah,
which I thought was a great progression.
Mm-hmm.
So the reveal and the timing of the use of that, I thought was well done. But
so
anyway.
Which part did you want to take out? I was confused there. I thought.
Okay, now which there's a couple scenes of the flaming arrow, but I'm talking about the raid on the village.
Yeah. Oh, and you thought.
Okay,
that
should be... before then, when he was talking to, I guess, the other. The countries around them. Remember with the guys in white robes as they were like chanting around the table and he was trying to bribe them and they said, hey, we were promised a lot more money than this.
Were you watching the extended version, Paul?
Might have.
Ah, yeah, that is not in the regular version.
Okay.
The only time where the KKK comes out in the regular version is in the beginning where they kill Robin's father.
Oh, now I'm looking at it and it says extended version. No wonder it's okay. That was a deleted scene, and I was thinking as I watched it, and this scene can be deleted. So I digress. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't realize I was watching the extended edition. But as I look at the DVD cover of the 2-disc special edition that I watch, it says extended edition on the bottom.
There you go. Mystery solved.
So when you were going back, the flaming arrow, did you Were you talking about the attack on the village where they use a flaming arrow, or when they were basically storming the castle to free the men hanging, where they were trying to use a flaming arrow to set off the fireworks?
The latter, where the executioner gets Will Scarlet, puts him on the barrel, and has that spit drool, which always bothered me so much, that just gets on. I don't know. There's something about that type of stuff that bothers me. Oh, well, we'll get to that in the next section. But and Robin shoots a flaming arrow at the executioner, and it goes to super slow mode, and like it hits the camera zooms in on the executioner, and he gets headshotted.
Yeah. Which they did, I thought they did a tasteful job without being gory. If they were done today, they would have showed like the face melting and stuff.
I'm not sure what type of impact an arrow would have on the skull in terms of lots of gore.
But it's Hollywood. They like to exaggerate. Oh, by the way, going back to the telescopes, it was first recorded in history, a working telescope, in 1608. I think that's when they were looking at space.
Oh.
Yeah, that's be a the different space kind of telescope. With Galileo.
Yeah.
But maybe
it was after that, though.
Yeah, they started using it on ships and boats. So, yeah, it would have been very odd for Robin Hood to see that. Okay.
Would you like to retract your statement now, Paul?
It was still silly.
Well, okay.
It was comedic, yes, but I thought it was a little...
That's okay that you did.
I thought it was done a little too much. Okay. It made him look more like a buffoon.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
But anyway, go ahead. What else did you like?
I also liked... I liked Robin turning the fletching off the arrows and doing the two arrows. That always like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that. I want to do that with my toys now.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, luck shot.
Probably, yeah.
But hey, it worked.
It did. Let's see. I have one more from Jake Aaron Wallace that I'd actually like to use to transition to our hate section. But was there anything else you really liked?
Robin Hood's dad, but that's because I enjoyed him in another film, but that's okay.
What other movies has he been in? He looked I thought I recognized him, but I can't remember.
He's nothing lately. He's done a lot of voice work lately. But he was Long John Silver in Return to Treasure Island. It was like a 12 long thing miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let me say this. Jake and Aaron Wallace said, I love that movie. I grew up watching it. So what if Kevin Costner loses his accent? The whole ending battle with Robin fighting his way to Marion? Come on. Every girl swoons at the thought of that. And Alan Rickman's performance as the sheriff? Fantastic. I read he only took the role because they gave him total creative liberty with the character, which I didn't realize. That's pretty cool, I thought.
That's interesting.
What he did with that. And so she finishes by saying, two thumbs up. And I want to say, I'm on board with all of that.
Except,
I'd have to agree with Kevin Costner not having an accent. I thought that was, and it could be that.
Point of order.
All right, point of order.
When did this take place?
We said 1100s to 1180.
Okay.
Or like
do you know what the English accent sounded like back then? Because we all know language evolves over time. In fact, Beowulf is unreadable by today's standards.
How do they know
what happens? Huh?
How do they know what happens if it's not readable?
Because it's been translated. The earliest versions was basically unreadable, but they found later copies of. They could see how it evolved.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
I'm saying is you don't know what the English accent sounded like in the 1100s. Alan Rickman was off.
Well, here's the thing. They should have had consistency across the characters. I understand that they can't necessarily have.
Well, he was a rebellious son that went off on different excursions, and he picked up, you know,
an American accent.
Yeah, he was hanging out with the Vikings.
I don't buy it. It didn't bother me as a kid, but watching it nowadays, it was kind of off-putting that everyone else. Though, did Christian Slater have an English accent? I don't think he really did.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they were half brothers, so that's why.
But Will Scott didn't do all the traveling. So what's your explanation there?
He did because he was poor.
That makes no sense. How do you get around if he's poor?
Walked.
Gosh, not Pilgrim Paul.
He's nomadic.
Oh my gosh. All right. So that was something that I didn't like. Paul, what was something you didn't like? Do you want to bring up the
Kevin Costner's performance? Oh.
How can you not agree with me if you don't even like his performance?
Okay. Some parts he was very good in.
Oh, okay.
There were a number of lines. It sounded just like a cold reading. He just like, and it was these words that I think he really didn't know what it meant. It sounds like.
Do you have an example?
I wish I could go back. Even if I were to say the line, it was the way he delivered it. And it sounded like a cold reading, like he was just reading it off a piece of paper kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not every line. Now, I will say that he is very charismatic, and I can see why that people would flock around him, and he is the star of the movie. It's just frustrating when I saw it, there were several lines. It wasn't just... I thought it was, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, wow, that's really bad. I guess he was like, well, that's it. I'm done for the day. You know, I don't know if he's like one of those, you know, actors who's like, nope, that's it. That's all I'm giving. But there was at like four or five lines. I was like, really? You're the main star and this is what you're giving to this film? Oh, So I was less than impressed with his overall performance.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, maybe it was just his overall charisma that I thought that really engaged me, because I didn't really pick up on a poor performance, so to speak.
And that was also frustrating because he draws you in because he is very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for me, I could, those lines are like, are you kidding me?
Well, Ryan Jackson would agree with you. He says, I love, as many do, the story of Robin Hood, and there were many elements to this movie I enjoyed. I think I would rate it a classic. I hesitate, however, because of my extreme dislike of Kevin Costner. The dude can't act. So he agrees with you.
Yeah, I think he can act. I would put him where some people put Nicolas Cage,
Keanu Reeves.
He can act when he wants to.
Mm, okay.
At least that's how it comes across to me.
No, I could see that. I could see that. Very good, Paul. Let's see.
So Francisco, what else would? So what's something that you don't like?
I don't really understand. Going back to Robin's father, why does he go up against, I mean, I call him the KKK because that's what they look like, but the sheriff and the barons, I guess, why does he go up against them on his own? I don't understand that.
Because he'd think he could take them. He's so filled with rage.
He didn't really look filled with rage, but maybe he was.
I think, I thought his emotions got the better of his logical decision making.
All right. I get that.
And if you, I was thinking sometimes when you're scared, the adrenaline hits you, you either fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the adrenaline hit him and he was on a fight, but he didn't seem that scared. Yeah. Enough where it's like a split second decision.
Yeah. I don't know. That just seemed peculiar to me.
Yeah, that was idiotic.
We're in agreement. What was something else you didn't like?
Trying to remember. There was something else, but I can't. I didn't write it down.
What happened to be the big face close-ups?
There were some that, yeah, especially of like Alan Rickman. Yes. that was like, this is interesting. But I thought it was very well done. Actually, I was surprised how well it came across when they were close up on the woman, the old woman, Alan Rickman's, where she revealed that she was really his mother. That okay, I was what? Like,
that's an extended edition.
Is yeah, it?
I have not ever heard of that. I always wondered.
It's revealed in the extended edition that it's that she is his mother.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And is it like he doesn't know and she reveals it to him?
Yeah. He finds the hole in the wall that she was spying on him. Was that ever in the movie?
Nope. I didn't know she was fine on him.
Wow. I guess that 8 extra minutes really holds a lot. Or however many extra minutes.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Anyway, she's spying on him and...
And he thinks that's how she can tell the future about things.
Oh.
So he goes to confront her and is like, hey, you're a fraud, and she reveals that, no, I'm not a fraud. I'm looking out after you because I'm the one that gave you birth, and I'm the one that switched, or something about switched kids or something.
Really? Wow.
And put anyway, I don't remember. Anyway, so the close up faces, yeah, it was a different style than the rest of the movie. It kind of takes you out a little bit.
Yeah. But speaking of Mortiana, I really just liked when she cuts herself and then spits into the blood. There's something about spit in this movie that really bothered me. It's just, I found it quite repulsive, and yeah, it's weird. I think spit might have that effect on me on a lot of movies.
Okay. But, now, does your daughter drool all over you?
Yeah, but that's different.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of a passive thing. Oh, I have drool. As opposed to...
Okay.
That was a spitting sound effect for our audio listeners.
Now, did you think it was gross or whatever when Robin Hood cuts his hand over his father's grave to spill his blood about vengeance?
Nope, he didn't spit into it.
Okay, so it was only when she did it in the pan and then spit into it that you had a problem with
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Okay.
It makes no sense. I guess
the director likes spit.
That's my own idiosyncrasy, I think, but it is what it is. Okay. I did feel, I'm sort of jumping back to the close-ups, it seemed like there was a lot of, I almost want to say, early, like sort of if the Bourne Identity was filmed in the 90s, it's like the early version of shaky cam. It wasn't shaky, but it like had a lot of movement, like pans in and pans out.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Some of the action scenes. Yeah, like I'd say rewatch the scene where Robin is fighting Marion's bodyguard, but it's actually Marion. There's a lot there. And I think also when he's fighting the sheriff, but I can't recall exactly. But yeah, it's quite odd to me. It took me out of the movie because I'm not used to seeing camera work like that nowadays.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess I like that kind of camera work. Oh,
okay. I mean, that's totally fine.
I didn't notice that.
I mean, you're wrong. What's wrong with you? Don't like that.
Because I like camera moves.
When they put it on track and like dolly it across, that's awesome. I love it so much.
Okay.
Oh, please put that camera on a Gib. I love to see it move up high.
You're still continuing? Oh, man. Sorry, listeners. I don't know what's going on with our host here, but if you're still with us, what's something else you didn't like, Francisco?
That was actually about it. That was about it that I could recall. I don't know how to feel about Friar Tuck. I felt like they could have done a bit more or something different with his character. It wasn't necessarily off-putting, but it's just like, it's like they crowbarred Friar Tuck in just because it's a Robin Hood movie.
I thought he was a good
like a good counterpoint to Azeem, like having
I thought that was interesting though, the whole Christianity versus Islam. And the battle between the two, but I thought Mike Machane did a good job. At the time he was well known for the Whose Line It Is It Anyway in the over the England version. Mm-hmm. I know. Here's what I was trying to come up with. I thought he was a good comic relief, but you didn't think so?
I mean, he was fine. I didn't think he was that good of a comic relief, no.
Okay. They could have got somebody better, or just get rid of him altogether.
Yeah, I felt like his character, what he added to it or what that character did for the movie didn't service the movie all that much. It was just like, this is a Robin Hood story. We need a Friar Tuck because that's part of Robin Hood. Okay, let's make sure we give Friar Tuck some service for that.
Because there were three different religions in here. There was the satanic, actually... I would even say maybe even four.
Oh, okay.
But you can kind of combine satanic and the whole
Celtic?
Oh wait, that was an extended scene. Yeah, the Celtic with
your extended scenes. But I am learning a lot, which is kind of cool, because I bet a lot of people who've watched this movie have only seen the theatrical release.
Anyway, but let's say with the witch, let's just call it satanic for now.
Okay. All right.
Because they had the upside down crosses and skulls and the blood and all that fun stuff.
Good times.
So that's one.
Yeah.
Then you had Christianity, which is Friar Tuck. And then you had the Islam with Azeem. So I thought they had power pulls, you know, between the three. I thought without Friar Tuck there, it would seem a little off balance. That's, or at least because that was a very influential part of the world at that point.
Yeah.
Especially for England.
I did like, actually, you know what? Something I did like was that Friar Tuck represented sort of essentially the good guy Christian, which was like opposed to the bad guy priest Christian,
exactly,
who was very corrupt. So that was nice.
Exactly.
I think what you're saying about how it would have been unbalanced if they did have a Christian that was pretty much corrupt. The bad guy, corrupt, and then a satanic character who is corrupt, and then an Islam character which is good, and I think that's fine. I really do like Azeem and Friar Tuck, how they met each other. They got to a point of seeing each other as men and could you know, relate to one another on that, which is awesome. I think
Friar Tuck had a great line after the birth. He said, "Let's drink together and we'll try to convert each other."
I must decline. Oh, that's fine. You talk, I drink.
Yeah.
that was good. We're sort of like totally backpedaling to the things we like, but I did recall one other thing that I enjoyed. I thought there's so much more in this movie so many more tones that I didn't pick up on in terms of themes. For instance, the whole idea of Robin going to war and seeing how nobility isn't really this thing that you're just born with, that it really matters more about your heart and what you do in the world. That's really what nobility means. And the idea that just because you're a Moor doesn't mean that you're a savage, or the idea that, yeah, we're all savages, but that's not really the point. The point is how we relate to one another. I didn't pick up on that, those sort of beats, I don't know if beats is the right word, as a kid, and I really appreciate them now as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Those themes, yeah.
Yes.
I would have to disagree with the noble. Just because you go out and do stuff doesn't make you noble or ignoble. It makes you active.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. How would you define nobility?
Oh, that's a good question. But just because you go out and do stuff, doesn't make you, and this is, I guess, how you define noble, is that you go set about doing good, looking out for, I guess, putting others first.
Mm-hmm. Serving others.
Helping them out. Not necessarily being a slave to others, you know, but I guess more of a humanitarian on a high horse is how I think of it for some reason.
Is the horse dying and you're defending it with a spear that you pulled from your own body? Because that's noble. It's from the movie, Paul. Come on.
It's from which movie?
This movie. That's
somebody
that's the
pulled
whole
a spear. Oh, yeah.
That's the
yeah,
whole conversation
yeah, yeah, yeah.
About nobility.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was an arrow he pulled out, right?
No, it was a spear.
Of a horse?
No, he pulled it out himself to defend a dying horse.
He pulled out a spear to defend? Did I see the extended edition? Maybe they cut that out.
That'd be really odd. They didn't show it. It was just something Robin talked about.
They didn't show it?
No.
Oh, maybe I blanked out that at that moment they were talking about. Oh, wait, Robin was talking?
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh, my gosh. I get it. You don't like Kevin Costner in this role. But
some scenes he was very good in.
Yes.
I would say most scenes he was very good in. It was a few, unfortunately, that kind of put a bad stink on it, on his performance for me.
Well, before we wrap up, hates, but
oh, I remember the one I didn't like.
Oh,
sorry.
Awesome. Please go for it.
The actor they chose for Little John. Now, no offense to the guy, Nick Brimble, who played Little John. But his smile seemed kind of creepy to me.
Okay.
Usually in these other Robin Hood movies, he's this big, warm, friendly fellow.
Baloo.
Yeah, that type of character. But he didn't, I don't know, I just have an I thought he did a good job for, you know, I don't think he could have done any better, but that's why I think now, someone like John Goodman, I think, could have done a good job, but that's what I picture. Someone a little big?
No, who I think would be really interesting in that type of role, and I think would have a lot of fun with it, would be Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Wallace Shawn.
Who's that?
Who played Vicini from Princess Bride. Inconceivable. Oh.
That would be interesting also, yes. But I was thinking, that's not a very big character, so I was thinking of a big character.
But,
he would be a Little John.
And maybe the fact that I'm used to Little John being a little more jovial.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But he did have a creepy smile.
I did not find it creepy, but okay. You can. You didn't seem to be bothered by spitting, so we can have our own yeah. pet peeves.
Yeah.
Before we get on to our final rating, I do want to discuss a little bit about the relationship between Marion and Robin. How did you think it? What did you think about it in this portrayal?
It seems from the different stories of Robin Hood that I heard is that they kind of knew each other as kids when they were younger. Robin Hood is away and they meet up as adults.
Mm-hmm.
And they get together. So it's kind of like, I thought it was well done for, you know, they have the hots for each other. So, but it wasn't like this, oh, my long lost love, you have returned to me, that kind of thing.
Like in the animated version?
But I thought the animated version did a good job too. it wasn't quite that note of desperation. So yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. Unlike that's one of the things I didn't like about the Russell Crowe version.
Oh,
was the relationship or the way that was handled.
Was it like
as much as this version?
Oh, okay. Was it just sort of like forced or,
you know, honestly, I don't remember it. I have to watch it again.
It just didn't leave a good taste in your mouth, so to speak.
Well, it didn't leave a bad taste, but it didn't leave, like I said, I thought it was well done, but just for a Robin Hood story, it was kind of
it seemed lacking. Like they just tacked on Robin Hood and it really could have just been any.
Yeah.
They could have named it something else and it probably may have been better because there'd be fewer expectations.
Exactly.
I actually thought it was sweet. I thought it was a sweet relationship that developed naturally. I liked that she didn't like him for a while because she had this sort of these scars from childhood, and I thought that was very real. But I liked mm-hmm. that she warmed up to him and that she was able to see, and we as an audience were able to see how he had changed. Well, she was able to see how he had changed. The audience didn't really get a window into that. And that's something that I don't know if it would have worked for the movie. And tell me if this is in the extended edition, but I thought it would have been interesting to maybe have flashbacks or something that showed Robin as a child. Cause I think then you would have seen an arc for his character a bit easier, and it would have been a little more impactful. Wow, he really has changed, and now he really is the hero that England needs. I don't know.
Yeah, they actually did, and he was played by young Haley Joel Osment. No, that's not true.
Yeah, really? No, that can't be right.
No, that wasn't in there. I think it was fine the way they did it. They told his backstory through other people and mm-hmm. himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they did a good job of that.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's just something about being shown and being told. I think being able to see that would have been a little more compelling.
Yeah, actually, young Macaulay Culkin is more fitting for the time when this movie came out. Anyway.
All right, Paul, let's move on to our Retro Roundtable review, also known as the Moment of Truth. Alice, do you have a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
Okay, Paul, Moment of Truth. Do you consider Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves a classic or second class?
I was really, actually, I didn't know before the beginning of this.
Oh,
we started recording. So
did I convince you one way or the other?
Sure.
Whichever one you chose, that's how I convinced you. Yeah.
Yeah. You convinced me. Yeah, this is a classic.
Oh,
Fun characters, good theme. It has its, you know, down sides, like every movie does, but mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it in a while, yeah, it'd be fun to put on. If you've never if I had a group of peers that came over and never saw it,
that is your criteria.
Yeah, I say you have to see this movie. No, you don't have to. but
you it's need fine. To.
It's fine. It was like, yeah, sure, let's put this on if you want to see it. If you want to see a good Robin Hood that I think tells the story, if a group appears,
okay,
we're over, and they wanted to see a realistic, quote unquote, realistic Robin Hood.
Yes.
I think this is a good version to show them that isn't a spoof, that isn't animated, that is, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. then I would think this is the one to show them.
Okay. Cool. So is that still considered a classic then for you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Kevin Costner's lucky. I'm giving him this one.
You gained a pass, Costner.
Yeah, but he's gotten too many passes in life as it is. Can afford it.
That Jonathan Kent.
Oh, no. Oh, don't get me started. I don't know if that's his fault or the writer's fault, the directors, the studios, everyone that approved it and made it. Yeah, they're all going down for that one. Anyway, so Francisco, what did you think of the movie? Was it a classic or second class?
You know, I was pretty much convinced after, I don't know, the first 20 minutes, yeah, it's a classic. And it certainly held that throughout because it was totally enjoyable. I really was engaged the whole time. I really appreciate that. I think it's a movie you can enjoy as a kid and also enjoy as an adult. Because there are things like I've mentioned that I picked up on as an adult that I didn't as a kid. And so I'd certainly show it to Sophia probably when she's like probably a tween or early teen. And
just watch out for that Kevin Costner booty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't mention that.
Anyway.
Fast forward.
What, you never seen a rear end before? Just look in the mirror.
Oh my gosh. How would that work? Yeah, so I'm gonna rate Robin Hood Prince of Thieves a classic, which means we actually have a two-person unanimous classic. That's like never happened.
Yeah,
it really never has happened. We've always disagreed.
Okay. When it's just you and me?
Yeah. Rocketeer? Oh,
interesting.
We are opposed, and Explorers, we are opposed.
Okay. What did you and Christy say for...
We were opposed there, too. But we didn't, at that point, since it was a prototype, we didn't really have classic second class. But
you were opposed then, too.
Essentially.
So we don't have a third person to disagree with us.
Yes.
So far, it's an undisputed...
Yes. The Retro Rewind podcast considers Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
An indisputed.
A unanimous classic movie.
But it's not very unanimous, but it's only two people.
That's
unanimous. It's just indisputed.
Whatever. But listener, if you don't agree with us, or if you do agree with us, please vote in our poll. Go to the bottom of the post where you see our rating of classic or classic in this case. And right to the right of that will be, it'll say, how do you rate Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, classic or second class? Vote and let us know your opinion because we definitely want to know what you think.
And where can they go for that again?
That is at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP25.
Sweet.
Sweet. Perfect, Paul. Let's move on to our feedback and contacts. Contacts? Contact information. Alice, would you bring up the communication satellites, please?
No, say it again.
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
All right, this time we have... first, I want to thank everyone that wrote in on Facebook and gave us their memories for Robin Hood. That was really awesome and really appreciate your engagement. That is so cool to have other people's thoughts that we get to include for the show. Unrelated to Robin Hood, though, we got an email from Michael Kelso. He is actually going to be starting a podcast soon called The Retro Thought Pod. And he was just wanting to know if we had any tips for him on doing a podcast. And there's some other stuff, but wanted to say thank you, Michael, for reaching out to us. And we I definitely look forward to listening to the Retro Thought Pod when you get an episode released. Let us know. And yeah, thank you. Then we also want to have a rather big announcement. Paul, do you know what that is? You probably
no, but I have a question for you that you can delete if you wanted to. And I thought I remember seeing this movie in the theater. Well, we're delaying. We're the big announcement.
Oh, yes.
We're building anticipation.
Yes. Okay, yes, that's what we're doing. Go ahead.
I hope everyone can hear the sarcasm drip through the headphones or the speakers. Anyway. When I originally saw this in theaters, didn't the Bryan Adams music video play during the credits?
I don't think so, but I remember I was into watching music videos from movies, and this is one of those I watched several times. Like, I watched this one, I watched the Three Musketeers one that Bryan Adams did. I remember watching the Kiss by a Rose Batman Forever music video by Seal.
Yeah, I thought it did, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the listeners can.
If you remember, please let us know. But I don't remember that.
Okay, so all right, going back to this big announcement.
yes. Next, as you noticed, this episode is episode 25, and given that we release every other week, next week episode 26 will mark 1 year. For the Retro Rewind podcast, we turn one. Woo! We are able to eat solids, most likely.
We rewound 1 year.
We've taken 1 year of your life away. One day it might go as high as five, but...
Excellent.
No, we don't have six fingers here. But what we're going to be doing, we will have many returning guest hosts. So it's not just going to be me, Paul, and one other guest host. We're going to have several people. Or just by ourselves, yeah, which was the case this time. But yeah, several of the people that you've heard, and I'm assuming you like them, are coming back. Me and Paul like them, so that's what matters. No, but it should be a really fun episode. Have a true roundtable discussion. And it's interesting that we're going to have a roundtable discussion given the movie, which is Paul.
The Knights of the Round Table. King Arthur.
No.
First Knight. No. Sword in the Stone. No. Oh, I know. What's that quest, the animated quest movie? That.
You're killing me, Paul. You're killing me.
What is it? Quest for Camelot. Yeah. No, but there is another King Arthur movie. That I think, you know, instead of any one of those, Francisco, and I think would be really good, would be Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's, I think, what we should do.
Well, you know, if that's what you want to do, Paul, we will do that.
Oh.
Just for you.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Yes, we will be doing Monty Python and the Holy Grail next time for our 1 year anniversary of the Retro Rewind podcast. So definitely check that out. That will be released in December, early December. Paul, how can people get in touch with you if they would like to?
They can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Paul J. Powers, or go to pauljpowers.com for any other social media they can link to.
Very cool. And is there anything you'd like to promote this time around?
Yeah, iRiffs. Go to iRiffs. Go to Retro Rewind Podcast. .com and click on the Iris banner. If you like Mystery Science Theater 3000 or jokes in general, you can watch movies and hear people crack jokes through downloading iRiffs. And the podcast gets a little kickback, so we can help you guys can help support the show. Yes.
Yeah, totally. That's
if
exactly
they click
what
on that. Yeah, so we if can they, pay yeah. for online storage and like domain names and like online costs.
Absolutely. And awesome, Paul, thank you. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at FXRUIZX. And if you'd like to email the show, just send that to feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. And if you'd like to support the show, definitely just tell a friend. That's the best way to support our show, is to tell a friend, hey, check out the Retro Rewind podcast. It's really fun. I enjoy it. Or, like Paul has alluded to, I hate it so much. So you should definitely check it out to see why I hate it so much. But hopefully that's not what you say. I'd be a little sad by that, but I guess that's why you can't listen to what other people have to say. Unless those other people are Paul and Francisco on the Retro Rewind podcast.
Yeah. That's why you don't mess with the Zohan.
But enough tooting our own horn. I'd like to toot the horn of you who listen and download the podcast. We really, really appreciate you. And especially if you subscribe and have these things delivered to you automatically, that is extra awesome. And so I definitely want to thank all of you. But in particular, you, who's, whether you're running right now or you're doing your homework or you're just working at work or you're, I don't know, just doing the dishes. I often listen to podcasts doing the dishes. I want to thank you and really appreciate you for listening to us while you do that. And that's all. So, like a Pokemon, we'll catch you later on the next episode of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nat Point Omega and return to base.
Okay, bye, listeners, or bye watchers, bye. Or creepers, or
we do have
stalkers.
One viewer. Who's viewing us? Hello, who's ever viewing us?